Well, you're looking good.
Feel great.
And tell them what All-Star game you went to, because there's so much going on in sports right now.
Yeah, it's really funny because I do a meetup in every city that I go to. So 200 cities. I just put it out there. If anybody needs any help, I donate an hour of my time answering questions, making introductions to whoever I know that can help. And so many people showed up to the meetup and they're like, yeah, I couldn't figure out what's going on. In Atlanta is the MLB All-Star game.
Yes.
And so I do a lot of work with the executives at MLB. And to be able to be a part of that has been a great honor, but a great business opportunity for not only myself, but our entire neighborhood of people.
So one of the things we're going to talk about today is that we both believe that everybody has inside of them something unique. They have their unique greatness. And the interesting thing about that is most of the time it's never understood and it's never utilized because it kind of stays covered. So we're going to be talking about act like the champion you are. So at what age in your life did you start to realize that I think there might be a little bit of champion inside of me?
You know, at first it was the genetic side because of my mom, because I'm going to get choked up. My mom was my champion because my mom had this ability to instill the desire that you must be what you can be.
Yeah.
You know, and she was an over-exaggerator because she was so complimentary. I really believed until pretty much I got to high school that I was super handsome. You know, she'd be like, you're gorgeous. You're so smart. You're so amazing. That's all my mom fed into me.
Yes.
Right? Because she always said it was the good voices that make good choices.
So good.
Right? And bad voices will cause you to make bad choices.
And I like that you bring up your mother, because I think many times when people think about champion, they think it has to do with just sports. But champion is somebody that rises to the top in whatever endeavor that they are in the midst of. And your mother, as you constantly would talk about, she decided to live at a very high standard. So when I think of champion, I also think of attributes. So give me a characteristic or an attribute about your mother that makes her a champion.
Gratitude. So the ability... So hard to talk to my mom.
Yeah.
Recently passed away, but the ability to find the light, the love, and the lessons and everything. I mean, my basement had a basement when I was growing up, right? 5 years old, my dad leaves, six kids, single mom, second grade teacher who fills up turnstiles at convenience stores with greeting cards just so we could eat.
Mm-hmm.
And she wouldn't receive. People offered help. People all the time, we were so poor, and they're like, yeah, but you got like uncles that are doctors, and yeah, but my mom wouldn't receive.
Yeah.
Right? It was, she had a bunch of problems understanding. It was always the more I give, the more I will receive. Not if you don't accept it, you won't.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish somebody would have taught her the more you give, the more you're given. And then you use your gratitude to see what other people see as punishment, as light, as love, and lessons. And so gratitude for me, my mom, true story, six kids. I shared a room at one time with two of my brothers, and literally had to move to the windowsill because I didn't want to share that tight room. I also was being abused at the time, right? There's a whole bunch of issues. And my mom, I'd come downstairs with a negative attitude, and she said, no breakfast for you. I said, what? Go back upstairs, and unless you're going to come down here with the attitude of gratitude, you're not eating.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was say what you're thankful before you go to bed and say what you're thankful for when you wake up. And that's going to be something that's going to change your life.
Yeah.
And all my siblings too. And I study physics, quantum physics, metaphysics. I surround myself with the world thought leaders like yourself. I'm very curious. I ask you for help and advice all the time. I want to learn from Tim's story and people like Tim's story. And here's the funny thing. I do tons of content. The number one thing is I was at the All-Star game and people come up to you and like, oh my God, I love your content. Keep on doing what you're doing. I say thank you before I go to bed. And I say thank you when I wake up. Thank you so much. And I'm thinking, out of all the freaking stuff I do research on, this is what resonates still with everybody that changes their life.
I love that. Well, I was with you at the Masters golf tournament, and people were coming up to you and thanking you for what you do. And you take the time to talk to them because you have gratitude, and you know that it's a privilege to use your gifting to help people. So in the Hebrew language for those...
So do you, by the way. It's mutual.
Thank you. In the Hebrew language, for those of you that speak Hebrew, you know that there's a word, mashach, which is, it's like rubbing off of oil. And what they find is that when you are around the wrong people, it's like their oil, their essence can rub on you and take you downward. But if you get around the right people and you mashach with the right people, it'll rub you and spiral you upwards. So talk to me about how being around your mother helped you to have that type of gratitude that made you go upward. Because you were around her a lot, so there was a lot of rubbing off of that kind of energy.
Yeah, I think it was so important at that time. Like I always say, there's no lazy kids. There's just lazy parents. Mm-hmm. And my mom was not lazy. She was on mine and my five siblings' asses. Just so you know, my siblings, I'm the low end of the gene pool. They went to Harvard, Penn, Columbia, graduated summa cum laude. They do extraordinary things. But it was because of that oil that we talk about that when I came home, first of all, my mom was extremely smart about how to raise children. She was a second grade teacher. When she and we all made money, we took her back and put her in a PhD program at Columbia. And I think it's directly related to what my mom did in her life by understanding. She asked me when she got back from Columbia with her PhD. I said, Mom, what's the number one takeaway? Sound familiar? Started early for me. What's the number one takeaway that you got from this program? She said, the common denominator of all the kids that go to the Ivy Leagues.
Wow.
I said, what is that? That they're rich? No. They read? No. I said, what is it? She said, they have dinner with their family. And so that's what my mom did.
Yeah.
She woke us up at 5 a.m. 7 days a week, required us to be at dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then since she woke us up at 5 a.m. every single day, she didn't give a shit what we did after dinner because she knew eventually by 9 o'clock, we'd all be asleep. So I was the king of wanting to go to the high school parties and then coming home with dick on my forehead because I fell asleep on the couch while everybody was getting drunk. True.
When I hear you talk about your mother, when you go into that deeper place of emotion, do you think that part of it obviously is because we're such good friends that she recently passed, but I think it's also of how she truly affected your life as the fact that she acted like the champion that she is.
Yeah.
Because I personally believe she's eternal.
Yeah, I know. Colleen will tell you this. You know, I can't, before my mom passed, before she even got sick, that's the deep emotional feeling that I have for her because of the impact that she had on me, my siblings, the community, Women's Lib. There was so many things that she did that was acting like a champion. My mom used to always say, became part of my five daily practices. She said, you got to know your who. Who is walking with you, who you can help, and who can help you.
So powerful. So all of us, we know this. You could be the right person with the right plan, but have the wrong people in your life, and it shifts everything. So, like, when I first started getting around Mike Tyson, I know he's your friend too, it didn't take me long to figure out why he wasn't doing so well right then. So I've been working with Kanye West since 2006, and he's like my little brother. You could see the shift in his life, not just in his eyes or in his words, but by who he has connections with. And to me, again, that's the oil. That's the rubbing off. Tell me how you've seen that in your own life when you've seen really outstanding men that were around other outstanding people.
Yeah, I think I have to put it into my own journey. because running Lee Steinberg Sports and Entertainment, the most notable sports agency, I was around the biggest names in sports and entertainment at all times. Billionaires, mm-hmm. millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers with a common denominator of you must be what you can be. That was the common denominator. And the difference between the Plexico Burrises, the Mike Tysons, and the Lennox Lewises, the Steve Youngs and the Troy Aikmans, all the different people we represented. Mahomes' dad, by the way, for those who hero is Patrick Mahomes, because Lee represents Patrick as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it applied to me. I was out there, typical is you help recovery of so many different people and comebacks. Remember, I surrounded myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. And so I had had this great oil, and the farther I got away from my best friend, my mom, my dad, and my wife, the more I sank. And everyone else that cared about me saw it. I remember telling my wife, right, like, why are you, my dad, my mom, and Rob, my best friend that I've known since the fourth grade, why are you always on my ass?
Yeah.
Everybody else loves me. I'm freaking rich. Look around you. And she would say, you're lost. And I ended up almost losing my wife, almost losing my life, like many of those people that you mentioned.
Yeah.
And it was solely because of this idea of the oil. And it doesn't happen, you know, in entrepreneurship, and Tim, we talk about this in building a brand, and you know this about my brand. It did not happen overnight.
At all.
It happens very slowly, then all of a sudden. Well, as much as the positive things in my life have happened very slowly, then all of a sudden, so did the negative ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It started when I was a millionaire, then when I was worth over $100 million, and everything was happening very slowly on the negative side. So I had houses, cars, planes, golf courses, ski mountains, all these things, beautiful wife, three daughters. And then all of a sudden, it was there. And I was going to ask you a question. How many of the people that you work with, I know in the positive it happens, business grows all slowly, then all of a sudden.
Yes.
But tell me more about the people, famous people that have everything the outside world wants and are empty and all of a sudden literally can lose their life, their wives, everything that's important.
Like, I've worked with Charlie Sheen since 1998 and consider him my real friend, my real brother. Charlie's so close to my family, he'll call my mother just to check up on her. And some people don't know that Charlie speaks Spanish, and my mother's first language is Spanish. She's from Spain, and Charlie will speak Spanish with her. But the thing with Charlie, I would say to him, like, why do you think you have these good seasons in your life, and then you seem to sabotage yourself? And he would say to me, Tim, it's almost too good to be true, so before it gets me, I want to get it. And I'm just going to blow the whole damn thing up. And I think that that's really, really amazing. And even with Robert Downey, who I've been around since 99, been on Robert's board, we're like brothers, that's where he was for that long period of time, where he felt like in that recidivism, that thing that you just have that cycle that's hard to break. So part of it is the understanding of it, where you have to become awake. Then you have to take inventory of like where your life really is. And then it comes back to the power of partnership. It comes back to the mashak, the rubbing off of the oil. So I would say for everybody that's here live in the studio and all those that are watching, who are you spending time with? And who's in your inner circle? And me and you, we love everybody, but we don't let everybody in our inner circle, because you can ruin me if I bring the wrong person in my inner circle.
That's interesting to that measure. A lot of people coming from the Napoleon Hill side of what I do as chairman of the Institute, Think and Grow Rich, Outwitting the Devil. And if you haven't read those two books, I highly suggest you listen to or read those two books, because they're the seminal information about personal and professional development from 1930s. It'll change your life. One of the things that has evolved is this idea, and many of the thought leaders today will tell you, you're the aggregate of the five people you spend the most time with. I call bullshit. Like, if you're a mom, and you're spending most of your day with, you know, a 3, 5, and 7 year old, mm-hmm. you're not the aggregate of the 3, 5, and 7 year old. And but you bring up a really good point, Tim,
yeah.
about being a champion.
Yeah.
See, champions, they play for the right teams.
So good.
And they play the right position on the right team.
Yeah.
My position in college, we won championships in Division III. My position was second string and mm-hmm. punt returner.
Yes.
Right? And I learned to love what I didn't like and didn't love about what I loved.
Yes.
Because I played for the right team, and I knew the position on the team was one in which I could learn from the Vance Muellers who played 11 years in the NFL for the Raiders, and I could teach the freshmen and the other players that weren't playing how to learn what they didn't love or didn't like about what they loved, which was football.
Yes.
And so I believe you take the subject matter, topic, or expertise that you are called to or you feel passionate about or you love and pick the right team that you're playing on. And then you figure out who on that team can help you get to where you want to be and help the other people on the team get to where they want to be.
I love that. And so the back work that you do that I get to see and your team gets to see is that there's a proverb that says, do you see a person skilled at their work? They will be ushered into the presence of the great. The word skilled means to master something. So let's quote Malcolm Gladwell, who talks about the 10,000 hours. Most people are so ADD in trying to master so many things that they don't master anything. So I believe that one of the reasons that I see the brilliance in you, the magic in you, the reason why so many people want to get around you is because there are certain skills that you have mastered. There are certain skills that you have championed. So give me one skill that you feel like you have mastered or championed and how it is showing you that it's bringing you into some beautiful places.
Yeah, before I talk about that skill, because I'm very clear on what it is, I think it's really important that people understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because the subtlety of success exists within the understanding of one of the things my mom actually confused me with. When somebody tells you, you can be or do whatever you dream of. Think about what they tell you. David, you can be or do whatever you dream of. But they forget to tell you, but not in this lifetime. You see, in the infinite, you can do or you can be anything you ever dream of. It may take you a million lifetimes to get there by paying attention and giving intention to the skills, the knowledge, and the desire of what you dream of being. But in the human experience, one of the things that I apply my superpower, my super skill to, is to know that the skills and the knowledge that I pursue is the basement. It is the delta that allows me to be the champion. It's
so
the
good.
Delta is the difference. And so I even, in representing some of the greatest athletes of all time, I would tell them, my delta is equal to Warren. This is my business partner, Warren Moon, Hall of Fame quarterback, still the only black quarterback in the Hall of Fame in America and still in the Hall of Fame of Canada. I would tell him, my delta in football was equal to yours, bro. My basement was so goddamn low, right? Even I would tell Ryan Leaf, one of our clients, man, if I was born with your basement, look out, Steve Young, Warren Moon, and Troy Aikman,
yeah.
because I have the delta, the desire.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I want you to think about in this lifetime where your skills and your knowledge are aligned with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is doing well. Even if you dream of being an NFL star like I did, it may not be the best thing to spend 60 years on. You may give it up when you're 22 like I did and take all those lessons and put it towards the skills that I was born with.
Yes.
That's aligned with what's doing well, what's stable. And you know what my skill is? Time.
Mm-hmm.
I beat the shit out of everybody with time. And it is an amazing thing when you have a skill of utilization of time and productivity, accessibility, and gratitude. Because I don't have to be as good as you. And one of my greatest examples was when I got out of law school, I was not the best person at West Publishing in Eagan, Minnesota. Everybody else was older, had law degrees, had relationships, already were making six figures. And so I said to myself, I am going to pay attention and give intention 7 days a week, 16 hours a day. So now mathematically, I don't have to be that good. Then I'm going to be twice as efficient, twice as statistically successful. In my first book, it's called The Power of 64. So every day, comparatively, I utilize time to have 8 times the productivity. Mm-hmm. So when I made $1 million in 9 months at West Publishing, was so far ahead of everybody else that had greater skills and knowledge than me at West Publishing. And my boss is like, holy shit, bro, you're amazing. We're going to do videos and make you a trainer and give you a raise and make you an executive. I laughed. And he said, what are you laughing at? I said, I didn't even hit my number. He said, your number was 250 grand. You made $1 million in 9 months. I said, yeah, but I worked 11 years. Comparatively. Yes.
But I love what he's saying about the time side of things. So, you know Oprah, Gayle King.
I know Gayle a lot. I wish I knew Oprah like you did. Let's be honest.
So, Gayle's my friend, too. Gayle's your friend. Oprah and I are like brother and sister. And one of the things with her, she does this 90-second rule. And so, when she meets somebody, in her mind, she's going off like 90 seconds, and she'll turn and she'll talk to Julia Roberts like this, but only for 90 seconds, because she knows right behind her is Denzel Washington. Like, if you go to one of these events at her house, and she's like 90 seconds with Julia Roberts, but that's Julia Roberts, but then she's going 90 seconds to over here, and then maybe then she'll switch over here to Reese Witherspoon. And I was telling her producer, Diane Hudson, who was with her for 23 years, I go, look at her work this room, yes. But you don't even know she's working the room. If you look at most people, when they're meeting somebody, I don't think they're not, that they are fully present, fully feeling, or fully alive. Does that make sense?
Always.
They're like this.
Yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk's like that, completely present. You feel like you're the only one in the room. And I don't know how many seconds it is. You tell Oprah, all I need is 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, she'll cut that down from the 90 to the 30. Yeah.
But well, Tim Story.
But you know, can I tell you something? When she gives these people the 90 seconds, it feels like so long because she's truly connected. And I think in this idea of acting like the champion that you are, what is the reason that we're going so fast, you guys? I think that a guy when I was probably 18 said, Tim, it's not how fast you move your feet, it's how big your strides are. And when I'd get around the old guys like Charlton Heston, when I'd get around Elliot Gould, when I'd get around James Caan, Al Pacino.
Diane Cannon,
your buddy, my buddy. Man, we'd have these three-hour conversations and they weren't even looking at their doggone watch. Tell these guys how true that is.
It is true, which is part of the reason I study time.
Yeah.
And understanding the linear time that we're all limited by the time our heart starts till it stops. Mm-hmm. Incrementally separated by 24 hours. And within the context of that, what the older people, more experienced people, people with situational knowledge realize is that it's the non-negotiables that create 90% of the fulfilling, passionate purpose in your life. It's what you're non-negotiable, because one of the mathematical equations from studying time, physics, quantum physics, and metaphysics is 2 minutes a day aggregates, accelerates, and compounds in its impact. Therefore, 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday.
Yes.
And so these people that you mentioned understand the consistency in the usage of their time.
Yeah.
And so they're not in a hurry.
They're the ones that trained me. Yeah. Like Bernie Brillstein, Brillstein and Gray, he never even carried his doggone phone. We'd go to Spago's, John Travolta would roll up, talk for like 40 minutes, Sandra Bullock would come up. Brillstein was never on his phone. And if
he didn't invent phones by then. I know that guy's old.
And people that are around me will see that I'm not always on my phone. I'm not always scattered. I'm old school in the way those guys taught
Tim,
me how to be in the moment.
Let me bring it into the modern side. I don't have my phone on me because somebody else is doing it. Because I think being a modern day business person, family person, that I need somebody monitoring my phone at all times. And so I'm barely on my phone. I take airplane rides. I'm on my phone. But somebody's always on my phone. Right now, they're on my phone, texting back people, emailing back people, looking up things, on my phone. And some people tell me, man, I don't know how you got back to me so quickly.
Yeah.
So why won't you make the investment in somebody that can communicate, even if it's not your personal phone?
Mm-hmm.
Right? At one time, I had an IG phone, a TikTok phone, my personal phone, and a business phone.
Yeah.
And now I have my mom's phone that I kept because we got to finish here, but the most important thing that I have is my mom's phone. Mm-hmm. I kept her number on my line because I text my mom every day what I told her every day for 18 years, which changed my life almost as much as saying thank you. I tell my mom every day, including today,
yeah,
I am happy, I am healthy, I love you, and I appreciate you forever.
I love. Can we clap in the studio audience? And don't we have the best-looking studio audience?
All champions, man. And look, this is the first of many, and we're going to write a book, Act Like a Champion.
Yeah, we're working on that right now.
Our mission to get people to act like the champion they are.
100%. So let's give them one takeaway. So I'm going to ask you this time, and then next show you'll ask me. How can they today make a step towards acting like the champion that they really are? Because what we are saying champion, 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 champion. There's not one person here that we're saying be a discount version of yourself. So how can they make a step today to act more like the champion that they are?
Find the champion inside or outside of you that you want to become and ask them for the steps, right? The fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there and ask them for directions. And it's not just outside of you. A lot of times you'll find inside of you that champion and the directions right there inside of you. I like to tell people, you will not find outside of you what's not already inside of you. Sometimes you need somebody else to show you inside of you where these are by giving you the steps and saying, look, this is where I started. Here's what I would do. Here's the dummy tax that I paid, the shortcuts that I made. And here's the best, fastest, easiest, and most efficient, effective, and statistically successful way to get to where you want to be, because I'm already there. I don't know how to get over to Beverly Hills from here, but I guarantee you someone that lives on South Bedford can tell me exactly at this time of the day the best way, better than Waze, better than maps, all day long. Ask for help. Find someone that sits in that situation. Look within inside of you to find what's outside of you.
David Meltzer, Tim Story, keep acting like the champion that you are.
Let's hear it for Tim Story. Thank you.